Good morning. Girls, it's a pleasure to be here at Chai Divina. It's the second time that I'm here. I hope it's not the last. I want to thank you for that very generous and warm introduction. As was mentioned, we're at a very critical time of the year. You probably won't have school next Monday, and not because it's Labor Day. It's because it's Erev Rosh Hashanah, and you're probably going to be home making your final preparations for the great day that's ahead of us. We still have a week, so it gives us time to contemplate and allows me to share with you girls one very critical idea. So there was a great rabbi called Rabbi Akiva. I know you heard of him. And he talked about returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, coming closer to God. Specifically, he was talking about the concept of Teshuvah. Teshuvah means to repent. Nobody's perfect. Very few people came to this world and left the world without making a sin. The Gemara says you can count them on one hand. Most of the people that we know, they're humans like us. They make mistakes. The Torah is okay with people making mistakes so long as they ask for forgiveness. Now, of course, if the mistake is between man and his fellow man, you have to ask the purpose. You have to ask the person for forgiveness. If the sin is between man and God, you have to ask God for forgiveness. But the good news is, it works. You know, we have a very, very loving king. God could have been like a mean king and said, if you make a mistake, guilty, and I don't accept apologies. Then we would have been in trouble. But we have a very merciful king, a very kind king. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, absolutely, if you come to me and you ask for forgiveness and you mean it, I'll make believe it never happened. I know some of you have phones, some of you have computers. We have a delete button. You made a mistake and you wrote something, you push delete, abracadabra, disappears. Teshuvah is a delete button. It actually erases the event from history, from your life, from your portfolio. So Rabbi Akiva said, you know what Teshuvah is like? Teshuvah is like somebody that goes to a mikveh. Now you girls are young, but I'm sure you've heard the concept of a mikveh. A mikveh is a pool of water, not a pool like you have in your backyards. This is a religious pool. What makes a pool religious? It's rainwater. It's natural. And it has a certain amount of water in it. And our rabbis tell us that people that go into the mikveh and they dunk underneath their whole body, when they come out, they're pure. You see, when a person makes a sin, he becomes impure. It's something that's on him. I know you can't see it. But today we understand that there's germs. That's why you're all wearing masks. You're wearing masks to protect you from something that you can't see. But you all believe that it's somewhere. So when a person makes a sin, there's some germs that come on him. So Rabbi Akiva said, when you make teshuvah, teshuvah is like a vaccine. I'm talking the language that the country is talking now. Only difference is this vaccine works. And you don't have to take a second or a third or a fourth, or you have to worry about a variant. When a person makes teshuvah, it cleans the person and the germ of the sin disappears. And Rabbi Akiva said, it's like a mikveh. Somebody that dunks his body into that pool of water. But then Rabbi Akiva gave another mashal, another example. I want to talk about his second example. He said, there's another way of purifying yourself in the olden days. They used to have the red cow, the para aduma. Maybe you heard of it. It was a very rare breed of a cow, and they would take it and they would burn it, and they turn it into ashes. They would mix it with special water in a cup, and they would take what's called a hyssop, ezov. Ezov is like a herb, like a leafy type of green. And the Kohen would take this herb and he would dip it in the water, and some of the water and some of the ashes would get stuck to the leaves. And then the person would stand in front of the Kohen, and the Kohen would take the hyssop and go like this. He would sprinkle. And what would happen? A few drops, only a few drops would land on the person. Maybe it would land on his arm, on his forehead, his chest, based on the aim of the Kohen. And you know what would happen to that person once he gets sprinkled? He's pure. So the Rabbi Akiva says, Teshuvah is like getting sprinkled. So there was a great rabbi called Rabbi Yitzhak Elchanan Spector. He was a Gaon, he was the chief rabbi in the city of Kavno. And Rabbi Spector had a question. He said, Rabbi Akiva, make up your mind, is Teshuvah like a mikveh, or is like Teshuvah like getting sprinkled? It's two different procedures. Why does Rabbi Akiva compare Teshuvah to the two different procedures? Girls, you understand the question of Rabbi Spector? We all agree, once a person makes Teshuvah, the germ is gone. You're clean, you're pure. So Rabbi Akiva says, it's like going into the mikveh. And then he says, and it's like getting sprinkled. Well, make up your mind, Rabbi Akiva. Is it like going to the mikveh or like getting sprinkled? Or maybe it's both. So I'd like to tell you what he said. And for girls your age, what I'm going to tell you now is very appropriate and very beneficial. I met a few people in my life, in my career, that weren't religious. They lived a very free lifestyle. Shabbat wasn't part of their regiment. Kosher food wasn't part of their diet. They didn't celebrate the holidays. They lived very secularly. Not like you girls. They lived like an American, just freely doing what they want. They didn't have to get up for shul. Well, I take that back. They had to get up for shul. They just didn't get up for shul. They didn't dress in a modest way. They really didn't care too much about the Torah. And then something happened in this person's life. It's not important what happened, but the person got shaken up. Sometimes God comes and shakes the person up. And all of a sudden, this person made a total change in his life. It's almost as if he did it overnight. He went from nothing to everything. He came to his local rabbi and said, Rabbi, I must return to God. And he took a crash course, and all of a sudden, in a very short amount of time, he became Shomer Shabbat, kept Kashrut, all the holidays. He started to dress in a much different way. He attended the synagogue not once a day, three times a day. And all this happened very quickly. I don't know if you girls learn mathematics, or you only learn Torah in this yeshiva, but I'm sure they have to teach you once in a while math. I'm not a math teacher, but I will tell you that when a person is standing and facing, let's say I'm facing you, and then I make an about face, so I start to rotate, I start to turn, and then eventually my back is to you. So as I'm turning in degrees. As I turn, it's 1 degree, 2 degrees, 3 degrees, 4 degrees, 5 degrees, 6 degrees. As I'm turning more degrees, understand? By the time I'm facing the wall and my back is facing you, does anybody know how many degrees that is? Wow, you girls are very good. You know your math. 180 degrees. That's an about face. And that's what this person did. He made an about face, 180 degree turn. He went from facing one direction to a different direction. Somebody in the synagogue recently came to me and said, Rabbi, you'll be very proud of me. He said, I changed my life. I said, well, I hope you change it to the better. Then I'll be proud. Yes. He said, I made a 360 degree. Well, that's not praiseworthy. He's in the same place. He just made a U-turn. He just made a circle. We don't want you to make a 360 degree. Then you're back in the same place that you started. Anyway, this person, he went all in. So Rabbi Spector said, sometimes people make teshuvah like that. They do everything. They conquer the whole Torah. It's just like a mikveh, girls, because when a person goes to the mikveh, the law says his whole hot body has to be immersed. You're not even allowed to have one hair that's out of the mikveh. Your body must be totally covered by the water. And if even one hair is extended outside of the waters of the mikveh, it doesn't work. Mikveh is a type of purity that only works if you're all in. So Rabbi Akiva was saying, some people make teshuvah like that, all in. They want to be totally covered and immersed by the Torah. They change drastically. Now, to be honest with you girls, I'm very impressed by that person, but I don't think it's so practical. Is it possible in a short amount of time to do everything? Is it possible to become a tzaddik overnight? The way I understood it from my rabbis is, the goal is to be a tzaddik, or in your case, tzaddiket. But it's a process. It takes many years. It's a slow process. It's a journey. And every year we have to improve, and we have to adjust and make ourselves a little better until we reach destination tzaddiket. So Rabbi Yakiva said in his Mishnah that there's another way of becoming pure. And that's the purity of sprinkling. Now girls, when a person gets sprinkled, does his whole body get wet?
No.
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, does the majority of his body get wet?
No.
As a matter of fact, only a very minute, only a very small part of his body ultimately gets that sprinkling of that water, a drop. But what happens to the person when he gets sprinkled with that drop? Perfect, he becomes pure. So what do you see from this, Rabbi Spector says? There's another way of making teshuvah. Instead of doing what we call wholesale teshuvah, which means general teshuvah, all in, there's a way to make teshuvah partially. The teshuvah of sprinkling. And that's what I came to talk to you about today. How do we make teshuvah of sprinkling? Let me give you an example. I know all of you girls are aware of the sin of speaking Lashon Hara. I'm sure they talk about it in the yeshiva. You really should never talk about people, especially negatively about people. You shouldn't be a gossip monger. You should only speak nice words. As you get older, you're going to realize that words that you speak can hurt people. And they leave a negative impression in their heart for a long time. When we were young, they used to tell us in school, I think they were wrong, they would say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. It's not true. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but you know what happens to broken bones? They heal. But words that are hurtful, that are said to another person, they break a person's heart and their emotion. And it's very, very difficult to repair that. It takes many, many more years to repair a broken heart and a broken spirit than it is to break or to fix broken bones. So all of us know how bad it is to speak about people negatively and to make fun of them and to say hurtful words and to pick on them and to bully. We all know that. All these things are taught to us. So now let's make teshuvah of the mikveh. Let's accept upon ourselves today in the yeshiva, 1 week before Rosh Hashanah, we are never going to speak Lashon Hara from here on in until 120 years. We're going to be like the Hafetz Chaim. Is that practical? No. I'm glad you said it's not practical, because it's not practical. Who are we kidding? I mean, we have well intentions. We have good goals. But is it practical? Do you really think that we can conquer Lashon Hara in such a universal way? in such a short amount of time? I don't think so. But how about I give you an idea? Instead of jumping into the mikveh of Lashon Hara, let's get sprinkled. You ready to get sprinkled? How about you accept it upon yourself that I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara at the Shabbat table? It's a small amount of time. It's doable. It's something that you could chew on, you could swallow it. It's not a big piece. Now, at the Shabbat table, that's a time where people, unfortunately, sometimes do speak Lashon Hara. Because everybody's around the table, you didn't see each other the whole week, everybody's catching up, the news, and so on. And imagine you said to yourself, listen, I can't control myself the rest of the days of the week. But at that small amount of time, guess what, girls? By making such a small resolution in Lashon Hara, to commit yourselves not to speak it at a small period of time, you have become sprinkled with the purity, and you are tahor, and you are pure. This is a chiddush I just told you. Because I'm sure till now, before I came, you thought, how can I be pure? I didn't fix the whole thing. That's the Rabbi Akiva's chiddush. You don't have to fix the whole thing. You just have to start fixing part of it. You don't have to jump head first totally into the mikveh. It's enough if you let yourself get sprinkled partially. That will also bring you to purity. Do you know what I tell the men? Well, I guess I could tell the ladies also, because some ladies are guilty of the same crime. As was mentioned, I'm a rabbi of a shul. And one of the biggest challenges I have as a rabbi of a shul, amongst many challenges, if you could imagine, is to keep the congregation quiet. I find myself standing at a lectern like this from time to time, begging, please, Rabotai, ladies, please, the Sefer Torah is waiting, the Azan is waiting, the rabbi is trying to speak. I'm very happy that our members are comfortable to come to synagogue, and they're comfortable to talk in the synagogue. They're comfortable. The synagogue becomes like an extension of their home. I'm very happy that that's the case. But you're not supposed to talk in shul. So I have two methods. I can either tell them, Rabotai, for now on, the new year, you have to accept upon yourself no more talking in shul for 2.5 hours. From beginning to end. And I say again, girls, is it practical?
No.
You answer that very quickly. Because you're right. You know how impractical it is. So what would be an idea that I would tell the congregation? Now I'm going to ask you. What would be an idea if they're not willing to go into the mikveh? What would be a solution? I ask you, girls, what would you, as a rabbi, what would you tell them yesterday?
Not to talk during Amina.
You're excellent. You could be a Rebbetzin one day. That's a perfect idea. I would tell the congregation 2.5 hours is much too long not to talk. But during the repetition of the Amida, the Hazara, it only takes about 3 minutes. Could you close your mouth for 3 minutes? Or how about during Kaddish? Kaddish is only 30 seconds. Could you keep your mouth shut for 30 seconds? And if you want to really be aggressive, the Sefer Torah takes about 25 minutes. Could you keep your mouth closed for 25 minutes? And our members, by and large, say, Rabbi, that will do. And guess what? That small resolution brings them to purity and brings them to teshuvah and brings them closer to God and brings them to a good judgment. Girls, I just gave you a tremendous, I don't want to say a loophole, it's a legal loophole. I gave you a tremendous advice that if you're looking to get a good judgment from God, you don't have to come along and say, I am willing now to turn 180 degrees. It's too much and it's too fast. Yes, it's 1 in a million could do it. Rabbi Akiva says, once in a while you'll find people that can jump headfirst into the mikveh and they're totally immersed. But for most people like us, including the speaker, our teshuvah is a gradual teshuvah. We move a few degrees, not 180, a few degrees. You know, there was a rabbi called Rav Shach. Rav Shach was one of the great rabbis of the last generation. He lived over 100 years old. And he was a brilliant gaon. He gave shiurim to the end of his life in yeshiva in Bnei Berak and Panovich. And I once heard a talk from him. He spoke in Yiddish, but that much Yiddish I do understand. And he was talking at this time of year to students. And he was talking about this concept, and he was telling them, you have to accept upon yourself something. And I was wondering, where is the Rav Shach, the greatest rabbi of the generation? What is he gonna tell the students? I thought he's gonna tell them, you have to learn 15 hours a day. And you have to make sure that you are meticulous in your Shabbat, and you have to make sure that you don't have any negative words come out of you. Something's big. And he said, I know our boys are very careful when they eat bread, that they make Birkat HaMazon. So I'm asking our members to accept upon themselves to make Birkat HaMazon from the Sidur. Imagine that, Rav Shach. He understood to tell them to pray the whole tefillah with Kavanah. It's too big. He said, you know what? Let's work on one item. Birkat HaMazon and pray from the Sidur. Because when you pray from the Sidur, you have more Kavanah. And then you know what he said? He said, and let's try to do it until Hanukkah. Which means even that small little resolution, he didn't say we're going to do it forever. He said, let's try to make it to Hanukkah. You know what Rav Shach was doing that day? He put his finger in the water and he was sprinkling them. He was saying, take a little step. Move a few degrees. Now, girls, in your world, more than in a man's world, but in your world is the world of modesty. I don't envy you. You happen to be born in a generation like no other generation that modesty outside of Shari Bina really doesn't exist that much. You have a great challenge. You see, my great-grandparents were born in Aleppo, Syria. And in Aleppo, Syria, 100 years ago, even the non-Jewish woman would walk with a veil over their head, a veil covering their face, a long robe. So my great-grandmothers did not really have too much of a challenge of being modest in Aleppo because that's how everybody dressed. I've been in Florida for a few days. I haven't seen too many head veils and ladies covering their noses besides the masks. You have a great challenge. To be modest in an immodest society. And I know you struggle with it probably every day, especially the days you don't have school. You see, because the days you have school, you're forced to come dressed in your school attire, which is modest. I'm just concerned what happens on Shabbat. Is there school on Shabbat? You don't have school on Shabbat. Do you have school on Sunday? No. I'm sure you feel bad about that. But nonetheless, I wonder what the girls do on the weekends. I wonder that if their dress code on Shabbat and Sunday matches the dress code between Monday and Friday. You see, girls, this what you're wearing now is just not a costume. This is the way modest Jewish girls dress 7 days a week. And therefore, I would venture to say, girls in your position, instead of making a Kabbalah and saying, oh, I'm going to dress like the Rebbe said, like the most modest girl for the rest of my life, well, you should start making small adjustments. That on Shabbat I will remain modest, at least on the Shabbat. Or I'll wear a certain type of garment, or I will stop wearing a small adjustments. And guess what? Imagine you're standing in front of a judge. And the judge says, you have so many things that you did wrong. What do you intend on doing? Imagine you stand in front of the judge and say, dear judge, I'm well aware of all the problems that I have. I intend to do nothing. What? Nothing? Nothing. I intend to maintain the status quo. The judge says, you're not even willing to move 2 degrees? I am moving 0 degrees. I am standing in place. Now, what do you think that judge is going to do? Girls? Innocent or guilty? Right, you girls can be judges. Absolutely. And I'm telling you now, a big chiddush, that when you stand in front of God on Rosh Hashanah, and He asks, you came to me for all these things that you want, a whole list of things. What are you going to do? Before I came here today, you thought you had to tell God, I'm turning 180 degrees. But now you're being told by Rabbi Akiva that you could tell God, I'm going to choose the option to get sprinkled. I'm going to choose to move 4 or 5 degrees. And you know what God says? Innocent. Give her a chance. She's making minor adjustments. I wish I had a blackboard because I'd show it to you on the blackboard or a whiteboard. But I'll try to explain it to you in the air. What I'm telling you now is a little deep, girls. But since I see you know mathematics, you might be able to catch it. When a person makes true teshuvah, it says it reaches God. You know where God sits? God sits on a chair. You know the name of God's chair?
Throne?
Yes, it's a throne, absolutely. You know what they call that throne in Hebrew? Yes, dear. Kiseh HaKavod, excellent, excellent. Kiseh HaKavod. Now that's far away. They can't fly there. They can fly to the moon, maybe, but they can't get to the Kiseh HaKavod. That's millions and billions of light years away. It's in a different world. But when you make the Teshuvah, it reaches the Kiseh HaKavod. There was a great rabbi called Rabbi Shimshon Maastropoli. Hashem Yimkom Damav. He was a great tzaddik. He said, Teshuvah reaches the Kiseh HaKavod. Girls, do you know that every Hebrew word has a numerical value to it? You know the word Teshuvah has a numerical value? You know the letter Taf has a numerical value? Anybody know how much Taf equals? 400. And Sheen? Gorgeous. Taf Sheen is 700, 400 and 300. And Teshuvah, Vav, anybody know how much Vav is? Gorgeous. That's 706. And then Bet, that's 709. And He, 709 and 5. Teshuvah, we'll do it again. Tav, Sheen is 7. Vav is 6. Bet is 8. He is 5. 713. Okay, I know that number doesn't mean anything to you. 713. If somebody says, what's the numerical value of Teshuvah? You tell him 713. But then Rabbi Shimshon Maastropoli said the following. Where does Teshuvah reach? Kiseh HaKavod. Now, wouldn't it be nice if the words Kiseh HaKavod also equal 713? That would be cool, as they say. But I'm sorry to tell you it doesn't. It's not even close. So now what? So he says, you know what? Let's write Kiseh HaKavod like this. Look at me here, girls. We're going to write on the top line. What's the first letter of Kiseh? Chaf. We're going to write a chaf. On the second line, we're going to write the first two letters. Chaf, samich. On the next line, we're going to write chaf, samich, aleph. You see what we did? Every line, we're going to add another letter. You following what we're doing? I'm doing it again. Chaf, next line, chaf, samich. Next line, chaf, samich. And now we just went hakavod, kiseh hakavod. Next line, right. Chaf, samich, Aleph, He. Next line. Chaf, Samech, Aleph, He, Chaf. Next line. Chaf, Samech, Aleph, He, Chaf, Bet. He. You say, Chaf, Samech, Aleph, He, Chaf, Bet, Vav. And then, last line, Kiseh, HaKavod. A lot of letters, huh, girls? Take a guess. If you add all those letters up, how much will it equal? You're unbelievable. 713. Now the question they asked Rabbi Shimshon Masrapoli, but why are you doing it like that? One letter, and then another letter, and then another letter. And you know what the answer is? Because that's how you make teshuvah. You do it in increments. Teshuvah is done. First line, you do a little. The next, a little more. And then a little more, and then a little more. You don't have to jump into the mikveh and do it all at the same time. In order to make proper teshuvah, it's possible to do it one step and one rung at a time, just like we spelled Kisei HaKavod. We didn't spell it all in one shot. We spelt it in increments. And that's my lesson that I say to you girls today. Baruch Hashem, I see you're very advanced. I see you girls are on the right path, to the credit of the teachers and the administrators and of course your parents. The yeshiva is providing you, Baruch Hashem, with a wonderful education. It's an education that you're going to cherish for the rest of your life. But now, the business at hand is how we're going to settle the next year. The year that passed, Tavshin Pe'alev, was a rough year. I'm not going to review all the troubles that happened, but you're aware of some of them. What happened in Meron, what happened a few blocks away in Surfside, and what happened with the tail end of the pandemic. That's just a few of the highlights of a rough year. So we're praying that this year, Bezrat Hashem, will be a much better year than the last year. And our rabbis tell us when the old year leaves us, we tell the old year, see you later, take all the curses with you. And when the new year comes in, we say, Baruch Haba, Tatavshin Bebet, come in please with all the blessings. And with our teshuvah, not teshuvah of the mikveh, with our teshuvah of the sprinkling. Pick a certain element, pick a certain item, and don't conquer it. Don't immerse yourself in the entirety of it. Take a little piece of it. And then, Be'ezat Hashem, you will also become pure. And your teshuvah will reach the Kisei HaKavod in steps. And if that's the case, God will say, you're moving a few degrees? Innocent. And innocent means a shana tova umborechet amen ken yedatzon. Thank you very much.